Well, good morning. Bring you greetings from sunny Florida. And I'll have to say that yesterday the weather wasn't half bad here. It was pretty nice to fly into Cape and then meet Randy and family. So it was good to catch up. It was good to be with you last night. Our passage this morning comes from John chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 19 through 22. On that evening, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Our Father, once again we come before your throne this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather as your people to worship you. And we pray now as we turn our attention to your word, that through your Spirit you would choose to teach us that which you would want us to know about you. And Father, how this applies to our life. For it is in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. When my daughters were younger, around fourth grade Katie and first grade Maddie, we took a trip to Chicago to the American Girls shop. Now, my wife took the older one to find what they needed, and I had Maddie, the first grader, and we had a mission. Our mission was to find Kit's little beagle dog. Because that was the dog we needed to go with that doll. And so about 9 o'clock, right before the store opens, the sidewalk is littered with little girls holding their dolls and moms and dads just waiting to get in. The door is open and there's this mad rush. I see my wife and Katie take off up the stairs. Maddie and I walk through the door for this great, wonderful experience that we've planned in total meltdown. There's crying and sobbing, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. But there in the midst of the American Girl shop is fear, frustration, and confusion. Not the picture-perfect Leverett the Beaver that I had in my mind. So as we're standing there, I have her hand and we're looking around. The nice lady comes up and says, "Can I help you?" "Yes, please. We're looking for Kit's little dog." And she goes, "Oh," and she hands me a map. "You need to go downstairs to the third floor. Well, you'll find the classic collection of American dolls. And there you will find a display of everything available for Kit." Yes. So armed with my map in hand, we went downstairs and suddenly the tears were gone and there was a smile and we found the little beagle dog. Life was good. And as I was reading the passage this morning, I thought about that story because we needed a plan. You know, we knew what we were going to do, but when we got there, it was total confusion. Without the nice lady who came over and gave us the map to the incredible world of the American Girl doll shop, we were lost. And as I thought about that and read this passage, we realized that Jesus was sent with a mission. He didn't just show up on the scene because the time was right. The Father sent him with a particular mission in mind. And so too, if we're Christians, as our passage said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus came with a purpose in mind, and now he's sending us out with that same purpose. So it begs the question, what was Jesus' mission? Why was he sent? Well, there are some clues that are given to us. In Luke 19:10, we read, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to seek and to save. There was a purpose in everything that he did. In Matthew 20, 28, we read, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to serve others, to seek, to save, to serve was his mission. It was not to do his own will, it was to do the will of the Father who had sent him. It was not to come and destroy the law and the prophets. It was coming to fulfill the law and the prophets in his very life. He was not coming as Lord God Almighty to be ministered to, but he came to minister to others that were in need. He came with a distinctly others focus. As he walked from town to town, he was always looking at others, seeking to save and to serve. And so we too, as Christians, are given that same mission. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Our mission is to seek out, to serve, and to share the good news of salvation with all of those that are around us. We are to be sent on a mission. We're to be missional, if it were. And that simply seeing ourselves as missionaries, our neighborhoods as mission fields, and we're seeking to build relationships with other peoples for the ultimate purpose of sharing the gospel. Do we view ourselves like that? As Christians that are on a mission, we're seeking those around us, whether they're in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplace. Are we seeking to serve them somehow with the ultimate goal of sharing the good news of the gospel, to bring to them the message of salvation? If we look at the early church, we get an idea of how they understood this sentness that they had. In Acts 1:8 we read, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." The opening of the early church has them with a mission to be a witnesses to who Christ is wherever they are, ultimately to the very ends of the earth. Acts 2 gives us a glimpse of themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had a need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with one another with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As a community of believers, not only did they enjoy fellowship together, but they saw those that were in need around them and they sought to meet those needs. And the result is they enjoyed the favor of the people and the Lord added to their church. It wasn't simply the holy huddle that came together and worshiped God. It's important. It's necessary. But they took their faith into their lives. They sought out those in need and sought to serve them by meeting their need. And ultimately had an opportunity to share the gospel. At the end of the book of Acts, we read of another situation. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These are the men who have turned the world upside down." Think about that. Could we be accused of turning the world upside down? Could we be accused of turning our neighborhoods upside down? the city upside down? Do we live our faith in such a radical way? Not being obnoxious, but serving one another. That it just causes confusion. We're accused of turning the world upside down. And they want to know why. And then we have the opportunity to share the hope that is within us. The gospel of Christ. And so I think about the early church there. And their idea of sickness. And wonder, what was the urgency that they had? What was their motivation? Why did they sell what they had to meet needs? Why did they gather constantly breaking bread together? What was it that motivated them in their sickness? Well, two reasons that I see. The first is they had a sense of urgency. I mean, Jesus said, I am coming back. They didn't know, was it today, tomorrow, a year from now? When is he coming back? I don't know. So they sought out people. They served people. And they gave the message of salvation to people. Perhaps 2,000 years later, we've fallen into a little bit of complacency. Yeah, he's coming back somewhere. But we've lost that sense of urgency. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be another 2,000 years from now. But he's coming back. And there's an urgency to getting out the message. The second reason I think they took this sickness so seriously is they had a sense of personal responsibility. They saw it as their job, not somebody else's job. The Apostle Paul wrote, Romans 10, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" This personal responsibility that I have been sent to a place. We, as Christians here this morning, are worshiping a sending God who sent His Son on a mission to seek, to serve, and to save. And Jesus in John 20 says, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Our mission is the same as His. To seek, to serve, and to share the good news of the gospel. And so where are we going to do that? I think in order to really take on that urgency and not be like poor Maddie, confused and overwhelmed as she walked into the doll shop, we need to understand the context in which we are walking into. Where are we being sent to? And what are those people like? And we have the example of Christ Himself, who came from the very throne of heaven and became a man. He gave up all that there was as God and humbled Himself and became a human. He lived with us, talked with us, ate with us. He understood what it meant to live as a person. And He could say, "I understand." He could then meet the needs of those around Him. It wasn't somehow isolated. He was in the muck and the mire of life. So are we taking the time to get to know those around us? I mean, quite simply, if we walked across the street and said hello to our neighbor, do we know the people who live on either side of us or behind us, who work on the floor above us or below us, who are in classrooms 4 doors down, Are we taking the time, really, to get to know those people? Do we see them as a mission field? Do we see ourselves as missionaries? Christ came into our world to seek us out, to serve us, and to give the message of salvation. So too, we have that same mission. And I want to encourage you to step out of security. When we go home at night and we pull in the carport or the garage and we want to go into our living rooms and just shut the world out because we've been in it all day. I want to encourage you that that's a time to begin to seek out your neighbors. You know, why are they in your neighborhood? Why did they move there? What brought them into your community? Have they always been there? If they have, then why? What do we know about those that are around us? Just getting to know them. As we get to know them, rubbing shoulders with them, do we find out what their needs are? You know, has there been a death in the family? Has there been a loss of job? Has there been trouble with their kids? All of life's problems we sort of hide behind when we go home and shut the door and go into our living room. I want to encourage you, we are missionaries. And our neighborhoods are a mission field. Go forth and seek out those that God has put around you. Because you don't live there by accident. God, in His sovereign plan, has put you in that house, in that neighborhood, at this time, for a reason. To seek, to serve, and to share the good news of the gospel. Let's pray. Our Father, once again, we come before Your throne. And Father, You sent Your one and Your only Son into this world to seek us out, to serve those that were in need, and Father, to pay the ultimate price of giving His life for our sins and rising again on the third day for our justification. And Father, He promised that He would send the Holy Spirit to empower us. And so, Father, I pray for this congregation, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would take seriously our Lord's command, that as He was sent by His Father, He is sending us out. Father, this very week, give us an opportunity to serve someone around us, to get to know someone around us, for the purpose of sharing the good news of the gospel. For it is in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen.